that faith changes everything. Jesus changes everything. And what you once thought was real and relevant changes. When you meet Jesus, people change. Last week, we looked at Jesus. He's a good person to look at if you're going to speak about faith. But particularly two stories that collided together. The bleeding woman, the nameless woman, and Jairus, the religious leader. And we noticed and we looked at how these different people came from different aspects of life. Totally different. But they both came in faith. And when they met Jesus, Jesus blessed their faith with peace. When they fell at his feet. This week, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And it is quite an encouraging but lengthy chapter. So, to help me and help you, because I don't want to really just brush over the whole of chapter 11 just by reading it at you, what I'm going to suggest this morning, if we could, next slide please, just to help us kind of unpack this together, is if we could get into small groups and look at different parts of Hebrews chapter 11. So what I'm asking you to do, if we can get into small groups, 3, 4, 5, and I've kind of split them up. So verses 1 to 10, verses 11 to 20, 21 to 30, 31 to 40. You understand what I'm trying to do here. So if we could get into small groups, if we could do that now, and we can just divvy up the chapters, just so we can try and hit as much of this as possible. Sorry. Page 282 in your Good News Bible. So if you want to get into small groups and just signal that you're in a group. You're in a group. Page 282. Hebrews chapter 11. Right, you're all rushing to it. It's a bit of a science. I'm not trying to catch you out on this, but there's nothing much when I was reading this I could leave out. So, can this group here, look at verses 1 to 10? This group here, could you look at verses 11 to 20? Can you do 21 to 30? Can you do 31 to 40? And you get to choose. You get to choose whatever you want. Now, just to help with the conversation, I've just got three simple questions. You don't have to follow these, but these are kind of things that I try to do when I look at the Bible. So, read the verses together, and you can ask yourself, what does it say? What does it mean? And what am I going to do? You don't have to do all of them. You don't have to do any of them. But I want you to encourage you just to read it to each other and then share. Does that make sense? Right, I'll be quiet. Okay. I don't know how your discussions are going. I'm sorry if I'm interrupting. But I don't want your chickens to burn and the roast potatoes to turn to dust. So if I could just draw your conversations to an end. And if we could just maybe spend just a couple of minutes just hearing from each other what you thought, what you noticed from the verses that we are looking to unpack this morning. So, first of all, verses 1 to 10. Is anyone willing or got anything to share from this group? We've got
got verse 6, didn't we?
We got to verse 6 where God rewards those who seek Him. God rewards those who seek Him.
It's all in verse 6.
And we're just having a general chat.
So, verse 6 where it says that all those that seek God will...
It says those... And rewards those who seek Him.
So, seeking God. That's part of the faith. That first of all, we need to seek God. Is that what you're saying?
You know, we can be found by Him, you know, if we really want Him.
And we got into conversation.
And we got into conversation with somebody.
Brilliant. Thank you. So, verses 11 to 20, anything that stuck out?
We seem to go through the that Abraham had faith when God says that he would have descendants as numerous as the sky and the sand, the stars in the sky. Yeah, and even though Sarah and Abraham were quite very old, well, it says nearly dead.
They can't have children.
They still had faith in God. He had faith in God that this would happen, and he trusted. So I think faith and trust were a lot in these verses.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's good to know that faith isn't constrained by our age, isn't it? Or how we're feeling. And circumstances, yes. 21 to 30. Over here, sorry.
Okay. This is taking us forward in the history of the Israelites. And they're now in Egypt, and then they come out of Egypt. And so it's seeing the faith of Jacob and of Joseph and then of Moses. And then when they come to take over the promised land, going around Jericho, the walls of Jericho. And in each instance, sort of, they got to a point where they could see beyond where they got to. And they were putting their faith in what they hoped for. And then the next people sort of picked up the baton, as it were. And they were acting, they were bringing to pass the faith that they people had had ahead of them, but also continuing to look forward and putting it forward. Brilliant. Is that right?
No, I'm not trying to catch you out. I'm just trying to see what we draw out, because there's so much in this. Yes, Louise.
I use an example of Gary. God said you're going to Brazil, and you ain't got the money, but you've got faith that God will provide.
Nearly there, not far.
Not far. But yes, faith and hope is something that is a very strong characteristic of as we grow in faith, but also seeing beyond what we can actually see. We've been using this line, faith starts out before we know how things are going to turn out. The first act of making a decision in faith is the greatest act. Anyone from this group, 31 to 40? Everyone's pointing at Dave.
Dave delegates. We had people from the Old Testament who had faith and were brought through difficult times and survived them. And then we had other people who aren't mentioned who had faith but were put to death or were tortured. And we said that there was no difference in their faith. They didn't know the outcome, but those who were put to death weren't treated any differently to those who came through, because God reserved for them a blessing that wasn't earthly, but it was heavenly.
Brilliant. I'm really glad you drew out that point, because faith goes beyond us, and actually faith is set in the heavenlies. It's set in the heavenlies. It's the perspective of, okay, I'm on earth and I have faith when I'm on earth, but actually my true riches are going to be found when I'm with Jesus in paradise. That kind of setting the benchmark. And there's no guarantee that your faith will keep you from harm or even death, but faith speaks beyond the grave. It's really good. Thank you for that. What did you choose?
The first 10.
Yeah, those are the best ones. Is there anything specific?
Well, we outlined that they were sort of pretty big acts of faith. So we had like Noah and Enoch and Abel and
just, yeah, sort of massive outcomes. So what does it mean? We all just felt challenged to express more faith in our own lives, because we're all believing and having faith in certain situations and waiting for breakthrough, perhaps. And then also trying to remember or bringing to mind breakthroughs previously. So again, sometimes you can get so caught up in what you're waiting for breakthrough at the moment, you forget the breakthrough you had 6 months ago or a year ago. And again, you know, keep thanking God for those previous breakthroughs and standing on them in the situation you're in now.
Thank you so much. And there's probably loads more that we could unpack. And this is why I wanted to kind of share this together a little, because it is vast, the subject of faith. If you just point out key words as you read through chapter 11, it's to be sure, it's to be certain, it's about things we cannot see, it's about God's approval, it's about understanding, it's about the universe, it's about creation and the creator, it's about the word. And I'm just literally just reading words that are jumping out at me, and I've only got to verse 3. Isn't it? But I do want to try and break it down just a little further this morning. So, the author is unknown. Some people think it was Paul, and if you look at some of his other writings, there is similarities, because he's trying to encourage those in faith. And primarily, the writer of this book is writing to new Jews. All these Hall of Famers, if you like, in this chapter, the people he was speaking to would have had the intellectual understanding about these people. But what the writer is trying to do is encourage them in their faith, because they received Jesus and they received faith, but there was a kind of a block, and the block was the knowledge. The readers that Jesus is the ultimate. Jesus is the everything. He is the author and perfecter of their faith. And these people who have gone before him were just signposts. Jesus brought all them stories together. He makes them real. He makes them relevant. But he also goes further than that. So, we understand that we are saved by faith. It is our faith in Jesus Christ who we are saved. Jesus said that no one can come to the Father. Jesus is the door to blessings and eternal life. Our faith in Jesus is what makes the difference. And it kind of, when we come to meet Jesus, it flips our world. And this is why Paul is so keen to kind of re-educate the people, the Jewish people, who had known these stories, who had grown up with these stories. Thank you. But what he was trying to do was put the focus on Jesus, the one who brings everything together. Our faith is not to assert our own will and plans for the future, but to allow God's plans and purposes for our lives to take control. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad about that. I'm glad that God's plans and purposes are the best for me. I'm glad and happy to put my faith and trust in him, because he's a good father. He knows what's best for me. I'm also glad because I have tried it my own way. I've tried to live life according to just my will. And it went very badly. Almost to a point of death. When I was in control of my life and making decisions by myself, it drove me into a place of isolation, and it drove the ones that I cared about away from me. Faith is about asserting the will of God on your life. It's allow Him, God, who we put our faith into, to take control. Not for us to take control. Faith and the will of God are coupled together. And this is what the writer, again, is trying to highlight. If you just look at Abel, he put his faith in God and the will of God first in his life. Because I'm sure if he was trying to do it his way, he probably would have chosen not to be murdered. His faith actually cost him his life. I wouldn't have chosen that if I was Abel. I was like, offering to God? No, thank you. But he didn't. His faith offering to God, that pleased God and was in the will of God. And he was blessed by that. And his faith, it says in the word, that it still speaks. It's still speaking to us today. That's how strong his faith is. But there is no promise that our faith will protect us from hardship. There's no promise that faith will not see us pass through death. But there is examples where people did get taken up before they physically died to be with God. The main thing we need to understand is for our faith to grow, we need to allow the will of God to take control in our lives. But how do we do that? How do we discern what the will of God is? Well, the first thing we need to do is do what Jesus did. Pray. Spend time with God. In quiet worship, in quiet reflection, exposing ourselves to His Spirit and His will to help guide our faith. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. We need to spend time in His Word. Jesus knew the Scriptures. He knew what He said in the Bible. And He said openly, I only do and say what I see my Father doing. You see, Jesus came and humbled Himself as a human, but He also humbled Himself to the will of His Father. We can just look at faith and think He just had faith. We're missing it. We're missing something fundamental. Yes, he had faith, but He didn't just have faith. He submitted Himself to the will of His Father. We see that in the Garden of Gethsemane, that He's been obedient to God, even death on the cross. And what happens in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before He was going to be crucified, He takes Himself away with His friends and He falls on His knees and He's praying and He says, God, if there's another way, take this cup away from me. But not my will, Your will. Not my will, but Your will. Can you see how Jesus was allowing God's will to assert itself over His life? And he did that in everything. Everything he did. But that acts as a good guide for us as well, I feel. Because the word and prayer will always come together. If you are a person who hears God through praying, then see where what you hear and try and find it in the Bible. If you're a person who hears from God when you read the Word of God, then pray and get confirmation through that, because one will feed the other. They'll never contradict. They'll never, if it's from God, they'll never contradict each other. If you believe God is saying something to you in your prayer life, then ask for confirmation in the Word of God. If you are feeling God is saying something to you through the Word of God, find confirmation through the prayer. Because that's what Jesus did. He lived from the Scriptures. He was the Word. But he still went off and prayed. Every day he spent time with his Father. The will of God is central for our faith to grow. But he hasn't just left it there, because God is a generous God. Because he's given us something else. He's given us the Spirit of God. He's given us the gift of words and prayer and his holy teaching. But he's also given the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will highlight deposits that God has placed in you for certain times and blessings. And we call them deposits anointing. Anointing is the power to enable you to fulfill God's will and plans and purposes for your life. Over the last 12 months, we've been talking about our vision. Empowered gospel prayer. Being empowered by the Spirit to recognize not just your anointing and God's will on your life, but also recognizing the anointing and God's will on the lives around us. Through the Gospels, by living from the good news, the Word of God, and underpinned by prayer. This is why I wanted to talk about faith so deeply. Because the vision we received is not just a nice vision for us. I feel it's fundamental to anyone's Christian walk. It's fundamental if you want to see your faith grow and your understanding and the blessings and God's plans and purposes come real for your life. We need to understand that if we're going to do that, we need to pray, we need to read the Bible, we need to invite the Spirit, but most of all, we need to allow God's will to take front and center in our lives. And I think if we're all honest, there's probably things that we've shied away from in the past. The truth. I'll put my hand up. I have. I've shied away from things in my life where I know God has been telling me to do something, but I was scared. I was scared of failure. I was scared of disappointment and rejection. I was scared what the world would say rather than having a healthy fear for God, my Father, who has my best intentions. But there's also been times in my life where my faith has allowed God's will to take control in my life. Case in point, I'm stood up here speaking. I did not ever envision or even want to lead a church. No way. Dead against it. You couldn't really pick someone more against the position that I'm in. But through prayer and reading the Bible and listening to the church body, I was able to lean into the many, not relying on myself and allowing the body to push back on me and confirm or unconfirm what we all felt God was saying. The will of God is going to be the one thing that we need to submit to for our faith to really grow. I'm not going to say too much more because I think there's enough in there to wrestle with. I think it might be appropriate maybe if we just spent a couple of minutes being quiet and asking the Spirit to highlight the areas in our lives where we've got our hands so firmly fixed on the steering wheel and unwilling to let go and let God. From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. It says, let us come near to God. We have then, my brothers and sisters, complete freedom to go into the most holy place by the means of the death of Jesus. He opened for us a new way. A living way. Through the curtain, that is, through his own body. We have a great priest in charge of the house of God. So let us come to God with sincere hearts and sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience, and with bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promises. We can trust God this morning through faith. We can trust that his plans and purposes are good for us. The best. We can confess by faith that we have received the Spirit. We can allow the Spirit of God to highlight the gifts and anointings that he has placed in you. Whatever that is. Whether it's stood up here teaching. Whether it's welcoming people. Whether it's being hospitable or an encourager or a good listener or generosity, whatever it is, we owe it to ourselves and to God to allow him for these gifts to rise up in us. But for that to truly happen, we need to let go. We need to submit our will and allow God's will to assert itself in our lives. Then, and only then, will we see our faith grow. Let me pray. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that was above all sacrifices. We thank you for the words in Hebrews. Not just reminding us about these Hall of Fame giants of faith, but the writer who's trying to remind the people that it's all completed in Jesus. They had to let go of some of their knowledge, some of their intellectual understandings, because they were hiding behind that. Let us not hide behind our intellectual reasonings, because we know we serve a God who has an upside down kingdom. We serve a God that is full of promises and plans and purposes for every single person. So we submit ourselves this morning to the will of God, in confidence that faith will rise as a sweet offering. We thank you that we've already got one foot in heaven. And we remind ourselves of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.